Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with David Paulson, Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Also joining us in our conversation is Paul Hempstead, Director in IBM's Homeland Security Practice. David, given your broad emergency management background from fire rescue to emergency disaster management, we'd like to get a sense of your management approach. Could you provide us with an overview of your approach and your leadership style?
Sure. I've always taken the approach of going to this as partnerships. I don't care for the I'm the boss, you're the employee attitude. Everybody has to be a part of the decision-making process. Now, I don't want to mislead you. I make the final decision. That you have to have somebody who's in charge, somebody who's responsible for making those decisions. But I think that every employee has to feel like they're part of that system and part of the decision-making process. So as I put my team together, you know, you have several layers. You also, you have your top management team. Then you cascade down the system. But I tell them very clearly that they are partners in this. It's not dictatorial at all. And that served me well for the last 30 years, and that's how I'm going to manage FEMA. It's how I'm managing FEMA, and it's working very well where my staff is like they're part of the system. Also, sometimes in federal government, you get a distinction between the political appointees and the career employees, and I don't use that distinction at all. If you're on my team, you're on my team. It doesn't matter whether you're a political appointee or your career. You're going to sit at the table and help us make those decisions.
That's great. Disasters can be very emotional times for victims, and typically for these victims, recovery begins when basic human needs such as food, clothing, and shelter are met. After every catastrophic event, emergency commodities are vital, and certainly cash is king. After a major disaster, how does FEMA get multiple emergency benefits into the hands of those that need it the most?
We talked about that earlier, about the process we put in place to really beef up our supplies and be able to track the supplies. The other piece of it is also pre-positioning and pre-deploying. We have pre-positioned caches around this country. Right now we're focused on the Gulf Coast and Florida and up the Atlantic Coast for hurricanes. But we have supplies, quite frankly, all over the country. But it's also is pre-deploying those supplies. During Ernesto, we moved literally millions of pounds of supplies as we track this storm across the country to make sure that they're going to be as close as you can get them to the disaster without putting them in harm's way. And that's a close call sometimes, but we want to make sure we can move them in quickly. Our system is to move those supplies into a state and turn those over to the state wherever their staging area is. And then from there, the state's responsibility is to move those down to where the pods or points of distribution. That's where the individuals pick up those supplies. However, the approach that I'm taking is different than what we've used in the past. In the past, the approach has been you wait for a local community to become overwhelmed before the state steps in, and then we wait for the state to become overwhelmed before we move in. That system did not work in Katrina, and it will not work in any major event. My approach is to go into this as a partnership. So you fill those gaps, you fill those deficiencies before there's a failure in the system. So where there's side by side, it's almost as if it's an all for one and one for all type of a system. We are in it together. We're in it together as partners. And this is what I'm trying to sell to the states and local communities, not for us to come in and take over. I'm from a local community, and I never wanted the federal government to come in and take over my disaster. However, we need to be there side by side, and I think people are starting to pay attention to this. We've had conferences in the past where I get to talk to emergency managers and explain how I want to approach this, and I see a lot of head nodding in the audiences when I do this. I think they understand that these types of disasters, as the Hurricane Katrina's, or, you know, God forbid we have another terrorist event, it simply quickly overwhelms the local community and the state, and we have to go into this as partners. If we do that, if we really do that, I think we're going to do a much, much better job of getting supplies down to where the end user is, the victim. And the victim has to come first, and that's our philosophy in FEMA.
So really the local community, the local government is responsible for the triaging of those supplies and material to those who need it the most.
That's correct. They know their community better than the federal government. I can't sit here in Washington and tell you where the best place in Idaho to distribute supplies, but that local community can, and that state emergency manager can, and that governor can. So our job is to get them the supplies and help them as best we can with the distribution process, but they have to tell us where they have to go and what the needs are.
Given the magnitude of funding going to disaster relief, what has FEMA done to mitigate the rising levels of fraud? And it's really on two different planes. Are there internal things with contracts, officers, IG, whatever? And also, externally, has FEMA explored specific technologies to manage identity verification in order to limit fraudulent claims?
I think you've clearly pointed out the two issues that we're dealing with. One is internal. Going into Katrina, FEMA did not have a lot of contracts in place and had to do those either with a no-bid or hurry-up bid process. And we ended up with contracts that, quite frankly, didn't serve us very well. There were not a lot of things in place for us to monitor those contracts better, to have a better product on the end, to hold those contractors accountable for what the outcome was going to be. So what we have done for this up year, we have already put contracts in place and put those on the shelf where we have those contracts already ready to go. So if we need something, we can just pull it off the shelf and use it. We've already bid those contracts out. They're like we want them. They have the safeguards in place to make sure that we can hold those contractors accountable to do their job. Second piece is individual fraud. What we saw in Katrina, especially with our expedited assistance program where we gave out $2,000 to individuals, really caused us some major problems. We had people literally in every state in this country. We didn't know who they were, we didn't know where they were, and we didn't know what their needs were. We made a conscious decision to give out those dollars. People were picked off their rooftops. They had only the clothes on their back. I mean, literally sometimes they're only the clothes on their back. They had no identification, no insurance papers, no access to the bank accounts. It was the right decision to do, and I would do it again. However, what we did not have in place was a strong identity verification system where we could tell you are who you say you are and you lived where you said you lived. And we have since put a contract in place with an identity verification company to do that. That will cut out most all of that type of fraud. So we'll know who you are. We'll know did you live in a place that's been destroyed or at least an area has been destroyed. And that way we can give you the money comfortably knowing we're giving it to the right person.
We talk with many of our guests about collaboration. Collaboration is absolutely critical to the success of your organization. Could you tell us about your plan to place collaboration at the forefront of a more agile and flexible FEMA? And how does the recent Memorandum of Understanding with DLA, as you mentioned before, illustrate the importance of collaboration?
Collaboration is more than just collaboration with other government agencies. We have to be collaborative with the local government, with the state government, working with private sector like the Red Cross, working with other agencies to make sure we have those agreements in place, have those MOUs in place ahead of time. One of the things we are doing also is doing pre-scripted mission assignments where we can depend on other agencies. We know what they're going to do. They know what's expected of them, and we know they're capable of doing it. And we're talking about agencies like the Department of Defense, with Health and Human Services, the Department of Transportation, all those agencies we work with on a regular basis. We know we're going to respond with us to a disaster. Have those pre-scripted mission assignments so they know what they're going to be asked to do. They know what we know what their capabilities are, and we know they're going to perform and respond as we ask them to do. All that stuff takes that collaboration you're talking about, and that's what we've been working on this last year to make sure those things are in place so there's no second-guessing, there's no surprises. We know exactly what to expect from these agencies, and they know what's going to be expected of them.
David, I dare say that FEMA arguably carries some of the greatest expectations by citizens of this country. Are there legislative changes needed, such as amending portions of the Stafford Act, in order to make FEMA a more nimble organization that can more effectively respond to emergencies?
We've taken those lessons learned in Katrina and very carefully noted what the Stafford Act was able to do for us and what it was not able to do for us. We're working with Congress, working with through the White House, working with the Department of Homeland Security to take the Stafford Act apart, look at where it needs to be fixed, where it needs to be tweaked to help us become a much more nimble organization than we were in the past. The Stafford Act is restrictive. Sometimes that's intentional. Congress very clearly has laid out what they want the federal government to do in these disasters and what they feel like is a local or state responsibility. So, the FEMA is not this huge, gigantic organization that can do everything. It is a shared responsibility. It's shared between the local, the state, and the federal government. We want to make us more flexible and less bureaucratic, and those are the things we want to fix in the Stafford Act. However, what we don't want to do is take all the responsibility away from the state and local community and dump it all on the federal government. That's not a system that would work well or serve us well.
David, we talked a little bit about collaboration. We talked a little bit about the roles of states, of governments, and of the private sector. I want to talk a little bit now about the individual citizen. A recent Harvard survey noted that only about 25% of those surveyed said they would actually evacuate if they lived in an evacuation zone. Couple this with another survey that noted that about 60% of the respondents did not have a personal emergency preparedness plan. What can FEMA do to reiterate the vital importance of individual preparedness to complement first responder efforts?
I don't know that it's a FEMA responsibility. I can tell you this is one of my pet peeves. When people are in an evacuation zone and they're told to or asked to evacuate and do not do so, that puts a tremendous strain on the local first responders. Now they have to spend time rescuing people who should have been able to take care of themselves, and they cannot focus on those who simply could not take care of themselves. The same goes for a personal preparedness plan. Having a plan in place, so if you're going to evacuate, if you live in an evacuation zone and you need to have a plan in place of how are you going to move out, where are you going to go, and where are you going to stay, what things are you going to take with you. It doesn't take much to do that. But also, even not living in an evacuation zone, every family in this country, as much as possible, should have 72 hours of food, water, medicine, flashlights, batteries, portable radios, those things they need to take care of themselves for the first 3 days. It doesn't matter where you are in this country. Every part of this country has natural disasters or some type of disaster. To be able to do that, it takes about 3 days for this whole system to get geared up and start moving. So, particularly in a no-notice event like an earthquake or even a terrorist event where we can't pre-position supplies, we can't pre-deploy supplies, they have to be able to take care of themselves. Now, there are some of us out there who can't do that. We either fiscally or physically cannot take care of themselves. Those are the ones that the local community, the state, and the federal government should be focusing on, not the rest of us who are able-bodied and have the ability to get those supplies in place and protect and take the personal responsibility for taking care of themselves and their families. I'll give you an example. Hurricane Wilma going through Florida last year. Not a devastating hurricane. Category 1, maybe a Category 2 at the most. My home is down there. We had some roof tiles gone, trees down, things like that destroyed. But the houses were intact. My wife and daughters, who were riding out that hurricane by themselves, like they usually are because I'm never home, did not have to go stand in line for food and water. They had taken care of themselves. They had their food, the water, the flashlight, the batteries. Our little barbecue pit was had propane gas in it, so they were out back cooking black beans and rice and chicken right after the winds died down. But we had tens of thousands of people lined up around the Orange Bowl and through other places in the state for food and water and ice. And when they shouldn't have had to do that, they should have been able to take care of themselves. We could hardly keep up with the amount of supplies that were being drained off of that system because people didn't take care of themselves, and that should not have happened. So everyone should be able to take care of themselves, or most people should be able to, those that are able-bodied. To protect yourself and your family, just take some personal responsibility.
I think that's a very important message to all of our listeners. Thank you. What does the future hold for FEMA? We will ask Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, David Paulson, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.